Meanwhile, anyone wanting to become a candidate has less than 24 hours to put themselves forward. There's been at least one high-profile entrant to the race today, with former TD and MEP Mick Wallace announcing that he'll be running as an independent in Wexford. Dr. Adrian Kavanagh, lecturer in electoral and political geography at Maynooth University, has been keeping track of the declared candidates, and he's on the line. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon from a very balmy leash, Rachel.
We could talk about that as well, but let's start with the candidates. So far, how many people have declared their intention to run?
I've been tracking candidates for the last 4 months. It's been very interesting this year. With the 2020 election, candidates were being selected and declaring themselves probably about three years before the election. This time around, everything has been more or less clustered into the last 4 months, basically the period between the local elections and now. I have so far come across 632 declared or selected candidates across the country. The biggest number at the moment seems to be 21 in Donegal. I think by the time nominations close tomorrow, I think we're looking at probably in the ballpark of maybe 650 or 660 candidates. And that will be by far a record number of general election candidates.
And does that mean too that we're probably going to be looking at a record number of independents and candidates from smaller parties?
Yes, that's true. There is a lot of smaller parties involved this time. And what's interesting is just how many. I've counted at the moment, and I'm sure I've missed out one or two. There's at least 21 officially registered political parties running at least one candidate in this election. Among the smaller parties, particularly the newer ones, you're probably really looking at, apart from the independents, at the moment I've got 124 independents down as running. It probably will be about 150, which in a way is actually smaller than the large number that ran in 2011. But what's happened this time around is a lot of people who might have run as independents, say 5 years ago or 10 years ago, some are running for Independent Ireland, some are now running on the right of the spectrum, some might be running for the Irish Freedom Party or the National Party or those other parties.
By the sounds of things, Adrian, there are going to be some very long ballot papers. And we saw the controversy earlier in the year about the length of ballot papers in the European elections and people saying that, listen, by the time they got down to the end of the paper, they'd almost lost the will to live and that candidates clustered down there, that they really were at a disadvantage.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be as bad as that wonderful Midlands Northwest ballot paper, which had 27 candidates on it. I think we're going to have a few constituencies where you might have 20, 21, 22 candidates. So it does pose its challenges. And I know there's been research done by Theresa Reedy and Fiona Buckley on this, which suggests that the candidates who are up at the top of the ballot paper tend to have an advantage, but probably would really have a big advantage in a scenario like that. So we've had occasions where candidates have slightly changed their names to move further up the ballot paper, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. I do. It sounds as though it would be a good week to be changing the name to Aaron Aardvark or something if you were thinking of running in the election. Looking at the constituencies, where stands out for you at the moment?
In terms of competition, I'm at the moment trying to develop a sort of a metric kind of a for the most competitive constituencies, based on the number of TDs, former TDs, councillors, senators running. So Wexford, you mentioned it, is really competitive, particularly around the New Ross area, where there's four viable candidates in that area. Outside of that, Limerick City, Dublin Central, Kildare South is very competitive as well, because by virtue of it being a four-seat constituency, but in reality it's a three-seat constituency, because the Cheann Comhairle, Sean O'Farrell, has been automatically re-elected. Dublin South Central will also be very competitive as well. And yeah, there's a lot of, and of course, let's not forget Wicklow, where you have five TDs running for four seats in that constituency.
Mm-hmm.
Wicklow Wexford.
Yeah, and of course, one of them is the outgoing Taoiseach and another one is the outgoing Health Minister. So it's exactly, the contest is going to be pretty keen there. Can I ask you about the new constituencies? Because there are a number of new constituencies, and of course, there will be 14 extra TDs when the next Dáil meets.
Yes, we have a record number of TDs in the next Dáil, but we have a number of new constituencies. Some are constituencies like Tipperary North, Tipperary, South Laois and Offaly, which were constituencies in the past, and definitely in the case of Laois, I'm glad to see them back. But in really new constituencies...
You don't like being paired with your neighbours in Offaly, no?
Look, I like Offaly, but Laois people like being on their own more than we like being with Offaly. We had our independence in 2016. We're glad to have it back.
But fair
Wicklow,
enough.
Wicklow-Wexford is a very strange constituency. And you also have Dublin Fingal West and Dublin Fingal East. Very confusing names of all three of them. I'll just throw it out there. But Wicklow-Wexford, there is currently no sitting TDs in that area.
Yeah, and it seems to be the constituency that nobody wanted as well, as in the people in Wicklow aren't really keen about being grouped with Wexford and vice versa.
Yeah, it is a sort of a constituency that emerged because the numbers wouldn't allow for a six-seater in Wexford and a six-seater in Wicklow. Hopefully next time round they might change the rules to allow for six-seater. I think that was the problem, that Wexford probably could have got away with being turned into two three-seaters, but Wicklow's population wasn't big enough for it to become two three-seaters. So it's sort of like an in-between sort of constituency. And hopefully it might be, for the people of Wicklow and Wexford, it might be just an in-between constituency that exists for this election, and maybe next time round you might be actually be allowed to have two six-seaters or a number of three-seaters. But it's interesting because Wicklow-Wexford, there's no sitting TD. The senior politician there is Malcolm Byrne. But as a geographer, I know this is going to break down along geography lines. At the moment, the senior or the leading candidates for Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, they're all based in the Goree area or North Wexford. But looking at the numbers, you've got to think there's going to be at least one TD from the Wicklow side of the constituency. So that does leave an opening for independent councillor Pierre Leonard or Fianna Fáil's Peter Stapleton to come through, because, as I say, in theory, you've got to expect there's going to be at least, or Pat Kennedy, sorry, you've got to expect there's going to be at least one
candidate from that general area, from the northern part of things. Yeah,
so Wicklow-Wexford is very interesting. Dublin Fingal West and Dublin Fingal East are interesting as well. They're strangely shaped constituencies. Fingal West is mainly based around Balbriggan and other parts, a large chunk of rural county, Fingal County. It's a three-seater, as is Fingal East. There's two sitting TDs there, Lorraine O'Reilly and Joe Byrne of the Greens. So it's going to be an interesting constituency. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael don't have any sitting TDs in that area. So it's going to be a challenge for them to see if one of those parties can break through and win a seat in Fingal West.
Yeah, fascinating. Yeah, fascinating couple of weeks ahead of us. We're going to have to leave it at that. Listen, I could talk about this all afternoon, but we'll return to it, no doubt, over the next couple of weeks. Adrian, many thanks for talking to us this lunchtime. Adrian Kavanagh there, Dr. Adrian Kavanagh of the University in Maynooth.
Bank with corporate cards, multi-currency accounts and seamless payments. Revolut Business, the future of business banking. Revolut Bank UAB is authorised and regulated by the Bank of Lithuania in the Republic of Lithuania and by the ECB, and is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland for conduct of business rules.
Critics everywhere are calling Small Things Like These one of the best films of the year.
She asked me to get her out.
Don't miss Academy Award winner Cillian Murphy in his finest performance yet.
Do you ever get worried?
People can make things difficult for you.
It's powerful, riveting, and profound. Cillian Murphy delivers a masterclass.
One of who was one of ours.
You're not our girls.
A sublime performance that could move mountains. 5 stars. Small Things Like These in cinemas now. Rated 12A.
It's almost 1 o'clock on RTE Radio 1 with Cork and Dublin airports. Supporting 128,000 jobs across Ireland.
It's the news at 1 on Radio 1. This is Rachel English. Good afternoon. The headlines this Friday lunchtime. Evidence has finished in the civil action against Conor McGregor and another man over an alleged rape in a Dublin hotel 6 years ago. Gardaí investigating a double murder have begun a search of open land in North County Dublin. And less than 24 hours remain for prospective general election candidates to get their names on the ballot paper. The news is read by Maggie Doyle.
Evidence has finished in the civil action taken by 35-year-old Nikita Hand against mixed martial arts fighter Conor McGregor and another man over an alleged rape in a Dublin hotel 6 years ago. Miss Hand alleges she was raped by Mr. McGregor and his friend James Lawrence of Rafters Road in Drimna on the 9th of December 2018. The two men deny the claims and say they had consensual sex with her. Our legal affairs correspondent, Orla O'Donnell.
The final witness in the case was a GP and forensic physician called on behalf of Conor McGregor. Professor Basil John Farnan explained that bruising was caused by damage to blood vessels under the skin. He said bruises could appear within a number of hours on some parts of the body, but may take 24 to 48 hours to appear in deeper tissues. He said bruises could change in size, shape, colour and position as they developed. He said there could be possible redness on an area before bruising appeared. The jurors heard there were no further witnesses in the case. Mr. Justice Alexander Owens told them the next step would be a legal discussion about the questions they would have to answer in reaching their decision. The judge said he would bring them back next week when they would be addressed by lawyers for Mr. McGregor and Mr. Lawrence and then by lawyers for Nikita Hand. After that, he said he would charge them and tell them what the law was. He warned them not to Google and not to consult law books. The closing stages of the case will begin on Tuesday. Orla O'Donnell, RTE News, the High Court.
A man in his 40s has been jailed for 17 and a half years for the rape and sexual assault of four of his daughters. The sentence was imposed at the Central Criminal Court in Cork after the man pleaded guilty to a number of sample counts on an indictment that ran to 128 counts. The man cannot be identified to protect the anonymity of his victims. The offences occurred over a period of almost 16 years, between 2005 and 2021, when the man's daughters were children. Gardaí investigating the murder of two people have begun a search of open lands in North County Dublin. William Mohan and Anna Varslevan were last seen on the 14th of April 2015. The case was upgraded to a murder investigation as a result of a review the following year. The number and makeup of general election candidates will become clearer this weekend, with the deadline for acceptance of nominations set for midday tomorrow. The campaign is now a third of the way through its course, with polling taking place on Friday week. Canvassing today by prospective candidates is coinciding with the publication of policy documents on headline issues including justice, education and tourism. Here's Mary Regan of our political staff.
This morning the main parties were focusing on justice. Fianna Fáil's Jim O'Callaghan said Fine Gael cannot claim to be the party of law and order. He said they've held the justice brief for 14 years and it's the one area where no progress has been made. Fianna Fáil is proposing a zero tolerance approach to crime with 5,000 more Gardaí as well as body cams and facial recognition technology for the force. At another press conference, Fine Gael's Helen McEntee gave her response to the criticism. She said women all over the country will understand what it feels like when men try to claim credit for women's work. Sinn Féin is focusing on proposals for a 9% VAT rate for hospitality businesses excluding hotels. On the campaign so far, the party leader Mary Lou MacDonald said she was in it to win it. Labour launched a health policy promising free GP care for all children up to the age of 18, while People for Profit Solidarity were at Stephen's Green in Dublin, launching a proposal for free public transport for everybody. Meanwhile, there has been another high-profile entry to the race. Mick Wallace, who lost his seat in the European Parliament in June, is to stand in Wexford, acknowledging on South East Radio that it will be a tough challenge to be re-elected. Mary Regan, RT News, Dublin.
Environmentalists have expressed unease at the presence of oil executives at the UN's COP29 conference in Azerbaijan. One campaigner likened their attendance to tobacco lobbyists at a conference on lung cancer. Representatives of non-governmental organisations said at least 1,700 people linked to fossil fuel interests are attending the conference in Baku. And now the weather forecast.
RTE Radio 1 weather with Grant. Why not upgrade to an award-winning Grant Vortex boiler for reliable and efficient home heating? Think heating, think Grant. Visit grant.ie.
There'll be sunny spells today, along with scattered patches of rain, drizzle, mist and fog. It'll be mild, with highest temperatures ranging from 10 to 13 degrees. Rachel.
Maggie, thank you. And continuing today's news at one, we'll have more on the search of land in North Dublin for a couple who've been missing for 9 years. More too on the 17-year jail sentence given to a man who abused four of his daughters. Also, the end of week one of election campaigning and the library book that found its way home after more than half a century.
If you have a TV, you must have a TV licence. It's the law. Make your payments easy with yearly, twice yearly, quarterly or monthly direct debits. See tvlicense.ie for more. Your TV licence made easier. Brought to you by the Government of Ireland.
Your flu and COVID-19 vaccines will give your immune system the top-up it needs to help protect you from serious illness. A flu vaccine and COVID-19 vaccine is recommended for you if you're 60 or over, a healthcare worker, pregnant, or have a long-term health condition. Talk to a participating GP or pharmacist, or visit hsc.ie to see what vaccines are recommended for you from the HSC.
Elaine and Jimmy are 68. They still look at each other the same way they did when they first met, and they're still excited about what comes next. If you're a homeowner over 60, a lifetime loan secured against your house from Spry Finance could help you to keep enjoying life. For a free consultation in the comfort of your own home, talk to us at 01582 580 or visit spryfinance.ie. Because life never gets old. Over 60s only. Product eligibility criteria apply. Senior Money Mortgages Ireland DAC, trading as Seniors Money, Spry Finance and Spry is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Aldi has everything that's specially selected. So discover a Christmas that's truly perfected. Aldi's specially selected all buttermince pies, 6-pack, only £2.99. With a dusting of sugar and a drop of fresh cream atop crumbly pastry, it's a sight to be seen. Traditional mince pies, irresistible temptation. Everyone you know will want an invitation. Aldi, have a cracking Christmas. While stocks last.
From family road trips to weekend getaways, start your adventures with a new Ford in 2025. The Ford 251 sales event runs from the 1st to the 16th of November. We have incredible savings across our range, with up to €4,000 off the new Kuga plug-in hybrid, plus more savings on the new Puma and the new all-electric Explorer. Ford Options PCP customers also have zero reasons to miss this event. Discover all our 251 offers at Ford.ie. T's and C's apply. Offer ends November 16th.
You're welcome back, and we're going first to the news that Gardaí investigating the disappearance of a couple missing for more than 9 years have started a search in North County Dublin. William Mahon and Anna Varslavane were reported missing from Laytown in County Meath in April of 2015. The following year, their case was upgraded to a murder investigation. We can talk to our North East correspondent, Mark O'Driscoll. Mark, Gardaí in Ashbourne are coordinating this search. What are they saying?
Good afternoon, Rachel. Yes, Gardaí investigating the disappearance and murder of William Mahon and Anna Varslavane commenced the search of open lands in North County Dublin this morning. It's understood that the search is located around about a half an hour away from where we are here at Ashbourne Garda Station, and that's in the Knoll. The search is being supported by the Meath Divisional Search Unit and also being backed up by the Garda Technical Bureau. It's understood that these lands will be surveyed and will also be the subject of technical examination, and the investigation is being led out of an incident room here at Ashbourne Garda Station.
Will you bring us back, Mark, to 2015? What's known about when the couple were last seen?
Yes, Rachel, the couple had been living together since 2014 and lived in a caravan in Gormanston in County Meath, but they were planning on moving back to Willie's family home in Talla on the day they were missing. On that morning, Tuesday 14th of April 2015, William went to Balbriggan, followed shortly by Anna, and they ran some errands and made contact with William's mother, Helen, to arrange for her to travel from Talla to Gormanston to collect them and their belongings. However, when Helen got there and neither William or Anna were there, she immediately became very worried. She reported both as missing, and a missing persons case was launched. Extensive searches were carried out, and then in 2016, in September of 2016, the case was upgraded to murder. To date, seven people have been arrested in connection with their disappearance and murder. And Gardaí today, hoping, I suppose, that given the passage of time, that people's circumstances may now have changed, and they're appealing for people to come forward and contact them with any information in relation to the case at Ashburn Garda Station.
Mark, thank you very much for that. Well, we're going to Cork next, where a man in his 40s has been jailed for 17 and a half years for the rape and sexual assault of four of his daughters. Our Southern editor, Pascal Sheehy, was in court. Pascal, the court heard that the offences in this case, that they were carried out over a very long period of time. What can you tell us?
Yes, Rachel, 16 and a half years. The offending we heard today began in 2005 and continued right up until 2021 and involved four of the man's daughters when they were children. And one of the most disturbing aspects of the case that we heard was that the offending was uncovered in 2012 and a case was made. And at that stage, the man made threats to that he would harm himself. This caused great distress, we were told, within the family. The complaint was withdrawn. And on top of that, the daughter who had made the complaint had to apologise to this man. Again, that compounded the stress, and we were told that the abuse continued for a number of years after that. Now, we are talking here of an indictment that ran to 128 counts. It included rape, oral rape and sexual assault of the man's four daughters. They variously described the offences as saying there was nowhere safe with this man. The offending took place in their home, sometimes in their bedrooms, one of the daughters in a victim impact statement, which had previously been read to court, said that their home became a place of horrors. It was eventually brought to a protective service, a divisional protective services unit of the Gardaí in County Cork, one of those protective services units. It was investigated. The man was arrested and charged. And earlier on this year, he pleaded guilty to a number of sample charges on the indictment, on the basis that the facts of all 128 counts on the indictment were accepted.
Pascal, as you say, it is a horrific case. What happened during today's sentence hearing?
Well, today, Ms. Justice Karen O'Connor delivered her sentences in this case. She sentenced the man on dozens of counts to which he had pleaded guilty, and the other counts were taken into consideration. The totality of the sentences, which will be served concurrently, means that he has effectively been sent to prison for 17 and a half years. Ms. Justice Karen O'Connor praised the courage of the man's four daughters and said that she hoped they would continue to support each other throughout their lives.
Pascal, thank you. Our Southern editor, Pascal Sheehy. And if you've been affected by any of the issues raised during Pascal's report, you can call the Rape Crisis Helpline. It's open 24 hours a day and the number is 1800 77 88 88. That's 1800 77 88 88. Or further support is available via rte.ie/helplines. The homeless charity Cork Simon has described as very sad and tragic the discovery of a woman sleeping rough under a plastic skip bag in a green area not far from Cork city centre. The woman, who's believed to be in her 30s, was found asleep under the skip bag earlier this week, and she's now in emergency accommodation. Paul Sheehan of the Simon community in Cork joins us on the line. Paul, I know you're reluctant to talk too much about this particular case because, of course, the woman is entitled to her privacy, but what's your response to what happened?
Well, I'm sorry to say it's a reflection of the reality of sleeping rough in the city. You know, somebody trying to find a bit of safety, trying to find a bit of respite from the elements, and even worse for a woman who's sleeping rough, trying to find some way to conceal yourself so you're not visible. And that's what it's like for far too many people these days.
Talk to us then about the overall situation in Cork for the people you work with. Is there emergency accommodation for everyone who wants or needs it?
There clearly isn't enough emergency accommodation, or we wouldn't have people sleeping rough. And, you know, here in Cork, we've had well over 500 people a month staying in emergency accommodation across the city since October 2022. So just going on over 2 years now. And last year we met record numbers of people sleeping rough, some of them for one or two nights, some of them for longer, some of them for the very long term. And, you know, the numbers have remained consistently high this year. But, you know, having somewhere safe and secure to live is a basic human need. And we don't think anybody should be left out in this day and age. We're consistently told that housing and homelessness is a top priority, but clearly not if you've got, you know, somebody who's just trying to stay as safe and secure as possible while sleeping on the streets.
Can I ask you a little more about that? Because obviously there's been a lot of discussion about housing during this election, but do you believe there's been sufficient focus on the people you work with?
No, is the honest answer and the short answer. It's fundamentally a housing issue. And the cost of housing is far too high. If you're a single adult stuck in an emergency shelter, and you're probably stuck there at this stage for a long time, you've no hope of getting out. A route out would have been in the past the private rented sector. That's beyond anybody's reach. And you'll be waiting for affordable housing for a long time to come. There's a severe shortage of housing, but an even more severe shortage of one-bedroom housing. And single households are the fastest growing households, not just here in Ireland, but across the EU. So, you know, there needs to be a concerted effort to get to grips with the problems in the housing system. The Housing Commission suggested we need a fundamental reset of the housing system in Ireland to get to grips with it, and we welcome that. And we would be hopeful that the incoming government would take that on board.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you just finally, I suppose one of the reasons why so many people are talking about this terrible case today is because we're talking about a woman and people immediately think, my God, was she safe to be sleeping in such a place? Have you noticed a rise in the number of women sleeping outdoors or in tents?
Not especially, no. And, you know, we did see a small increase last year, but we saw an increase generally across the board in rough sleepers. I think about one in five people sleeping rough last year met by our outreach team were women. Obviously, you know, anybody sleeping rough is vulnerable on the streets, but women especially so. But like, nobody should be left out on the streets in this day and age, and certainly not over the long winter months. You know, we're 2 months pretty much into the winter now. We've already had several weather alerts, severe weather alerts. You know, sleeping on the streets in a very short period of time can take a significant toll on people's health.
Well, Paul, thank you very much for talking to us this lunchtime. That was Paul Sheehan there of the Simon community in Cork. Well, let's stay with election matters, because it's exactly a week since Simon Harris announced that he was asking the president to dissolve the Dáil, clearing the way for the official start of the general election. So far, the campaign has been pretty light on dramatic moments. An opinion poll in today's Irish Times suggests that while Fine Gael remains the largest party, there's growing support for independence. independent candidates. When it comes to the issues influencing their vote, almost one third of people mentioned the cost of living. House prices and health were also cited as significant concerns. Mary O'Regan of our political staff has been following this morning's developments. Mary, what are the parties up to today?
Well, the main focus of this morning was justice. Now, this is an area where there has been a lot of tension between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael well before this general election campaign when they were in coalition together and ever since those Dublin riots this time last year. But while that tension might have been simmering in the background of government, it's very much out in the open today because Fianna Fáil's Jim O'Callaghan is saying that Fine Gael cannot now claim to be the party of law and order. They've had the brief for 14 years. They've had five justice ministers, two of whom resigned. And there has been little progress. They're more or less the same number of Gardaí, he is saying. Fianna Fáil is proposing 5,000 more Gardaí in what they say is a sort of zero tolerance approach. So they want to give body cams, facial recognition technology to the force. And, you know, Helen McEntee was asked about this at the Fine Gael press conference, sort of just around the corner. And her response was that women all over the country, she said, will understand what it feels like when men try to claim credit for women's work. That was a dig at the Fianna Fáil spokespeople. So that just shows the position really for Fine Gael in this election campaign, that they seem to be quite often on the defensive, defending themselves against punches coming in their direction from Fianna Fáil.
So that's what Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have been up to today. What are the others doing?
Well, the Labour Party had a health policy launch. Now, it wants to roll out free GP care for all children up to the age of 18. And Duncan Smith, its health spokesperson, was saying that families are making very difficult calculations as to whether they're to bring their children to the doctor or not, or to spend the money on something else. Mary Lou MacDonald, she's touring the North West and she's meeting hospitality businesses because Sinn Féin has a proposal to reduce the VAT rate down to 9% for all hospitality businesses except for hotels. Social Democrats, they are launching a housing policy today. People Before Profit, they were launching a proposal to have free public transport for everybody, and the Green Party had a sort of transport safety launch. So that has been what the other parties were up to today.
We're a week in. What are your impressions of the campaign?
Well, I think 1 week in so far, there's been no major moving off the dial. There has been no major issue catching fire. And while the poll this morning would suggest that Fine Gael has this lead, you know, the party might not have been having the campaign that they might hope to have had. There was that, you know, silly sort of controversy involving Michael O'Leary and his comments about teachers, which put Fine Gael on the defensive. However, it is in the lead according to the polls. Fianna Fáil believes, you know, that the lead is there for the taking. That's why they're going hard at Fine Gael. But there's a question then arising as to how long they can sustain that criticism, because so long as they drag down the record of this government, they might drag themselves down with it. Sinn Féin doesn't have the sort of momentum it had at this point of the last election campaign, but its poll slide is stabilising, it would be suggested. If the wind is on anyone's back at this point, it is the independents. They seem to be the ones who are growing in popularity, the polls suggest, and also localised polls show they're doing well at constituency level. If there is to be a change in this general election, so far that's the suggested place. Independents is where that change might come from.
Mary, many thanks. That was Mary Regan of our political staff. And meanwhile, anyone wanting to become a candidate has less than 24 hours to put themselves forward. There's been at least one high-profile entrant to the race today, with former TD and MEP Mick Wallace announcing that he'll be running as an independent in Wexford. Dr. Adrian Kavanagh, lecturer in electoral and political geography at Maynooth University, has been keeping track of the declared candidates, and he's on the line. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon from a very balmy Leash, Rachel.
We could talk about that as well, but let's start with the candidates. So far, how many people have declared their intention to run?
I've been tracking candidates for the last 4 months. It's been very interesting this year. With the 2020 election, candidates were being selected and declaring themselves probably about three years before the election. This time around, everything has been more or less clustered into the last 4 months, basically the period between the local elections and now. I have so far come across 632 declared or selected candidates across the country. The biggest number at the moment seems to be 21 in Donegal. I think by the time nominations close tomorrow, I think we're looking at probably in the ballpark of maybe 650 or 660 candidates. And that will be by far a record number of general election candidates.
And does that mean too that we're probably going to be looking at a record number of independents and candidates from smaller parties?
Yes, that's true. There is a lot of smaller parties involved this time. And what's interesting is just how many. I've counted at the moment, and I'm sure I've missed out one or two. There's at least 21 officially registered political parties running at least one candidate in this election. Among the smaller parties, particularly the newer ones, you're probably really looking at, apart from the independents, at the moment I've got 124 independents down as running. It probably will be about 150, which in a way is actually smaller than the large number that ran in 2011. But what's happened this time around is a lot of people who might have run as independents, say, 5 years ago or 10 years ago, some are running for Independent Ireland, some are now running on the right of the spectrum, some might be running for the Irish Freedom Party or the National Party or those other parties.
By the sounds of things, Adrian, there are going to be some very long ballot papers. And we saw the controversy earlier in the year about the length of ballot papers in the European elections and people saying that, listen, by the time they got down to the end of the paper, they'd almost lost the will to live and that candidates clustered down there, that they really were at a disadvantage.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be as bad as that wonderful Midlands Northwest ballot paper, which had 27 candidates on it. I think we're going to have a few constituencies where you might have 20, 21, 22 candidates. So it does pose its challenges. And I know there's been research done by Theresa Reedy and Fiona Buckley on this, which suggests that the candidates who are up at the top of the ballot paper tend to have an advantage, but probably would really have a big advantage in a scenario like that. So we've had occasions where candidates have slightly changed their names to move further up the ballot paper, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. I do. It sounds as though it would be a good week to be changing the name to Aaron Aardvark or something if you were thinking of running in the election. Looking at the constituencies, where stands out for you at the moment?
In terms of competition, I'm at the moment trying to develop a sort of a metric kind of for the most competitive constituencies based on the number of TDs, former TDs, councillors, senators running. So Wexford, you mentioned it, is really competitive, particularly around the New Ross area where there's four viable candidates in that area. Outside of that, Limerick City, Dublin Central, Kildare South is very competitive as well because by virtue of it being a four-seat constituency, but in reality it's a three-seat constituency because the Ceann Comhairle, Sean O'Farrell, has been automatically re-elected. Dublin South Central will also be very competitive as well. And yeah, there's a lot of, and of course, let's not forget Wicklow, where you have five TDs running for four seats in that constituency.
Mm-hmm.
Wicklow-Wexford.
Yeah, and of course, one of them is the outgoing Taoiseach and another one is the outgoing Health Minister. So it's exactly, the contest is going to be pretty keen there. Can I ask you about the new constituencies? Because there are a number of new constituencies and of course, there will be 14 extra TDs when the next Dáil meets.
Yes, we have a record number of TDs in the next Dáil, but we have a number of new constituencies. Some are constituencies like Tipperary North, Tipperary South, Laois and Offaly, which were constituencies in the past, and definitely in the case of Laois, I'm glad to see them back. But then really new constituencies are
You don't
Dublin,
like being paired with your neighbours in Offaly, no?
Look, I like Offaly, but Laois people like being on their own more than we like being with Offaly. We had our independence in 2016. We're glad to have it back.
But fair
Wicklow
enough.
Wicklow-Wexford is a very strange constituency. And you also have Dublin Fingal West and Dublin Fingal East. Very confusing names of all three of them. I'll just throw it out there. But Wicklow-Wexford, there is currently no sitting TDs in that area.
Yeah, and it seems to be the constituency that nobody wanted as well, as in the people in Wicklow aren't really keen about being grouped with Wexford and vice versa.
Yeah, it is a sort of a constituency that emerged because the numbers wouldn't allow for a six-seater in Wexford and a six-seater in Wicklow. Hopefully next time round they might change the rules to allow for six-seater. I think that was the problem, that Wexford probably could have gone away with being turned into two three-seaters, but Wicklow's population wasn't big enough for it to become two three-seaters. So it's sort of like an in-between sort of constituency. And hopefully it might be, for the people of Wicklow and Wexford, it might be just an in-between constituency that exists for this election, and maybe next time round you might be actually be allowed to have two six-seaters or a number of three-seaters. But it's interesting because Wicklow Wexford, there's no sitting TD. The senior politician there is Malcolm Byrne. But as a geographer, I know this is going to break down along geography lines. At the moment, the senior or the leading candidates for Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, they're all based in the Gorey area or North Wexford. But looking at the numbers, you've got to think there's going to be at least one TD from the Wicklow side of the constituency. So that does leave an opening for independent councillor Pierre Leonard or Fianna Fáil's Peter Stapleton to come through, because, as I say, in theory, you've got to expect there's going to be at least, or Pat Kennedy, sorry, you've got to expect there's going to be at least one
candidate from that general area, from the northern part of things. Yeah.
So Wicklow Wexford is very interesting. Dublin Fingal West and Dublin Fingal East are interesting as well. They're strangely shaped constituencies. Fingal West is mainly based around Balbriggan and other parts, a large chunk of rural county, Fingal County. It's a three-seater, as is Fingal East. There's two sitting TDs there, Lorraine O'Reilly and Joe Byrne of the Greens. So it's going to be an interesting constituency. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael don't have any sitting TDs in that area. So it's going to be a challenge for them to see if one of those parties can break through and win a seat in Fingal West.
Yeah, fascinating. Yeah, fascinating couple of weeks ahead of us. We're going to have to leave it at that. Listen, I could talk about this all afternoon, but we'll return to it, no doubt, over the next couple of weeks. Adrian, many thanks for talking to us this lunchtime. Adrian Kavanagh there, Dr. Adrian Kavanagh of the University in Maynooth. We'll be coming back with more on the News at One after a quick break.
Make it a Christmas party to remember at Dunn's Stores, with 20% off a fantastic range of wine and champagne. And mix and match 3 for 2 on over 100 party food options. Whether you want crispy tempura prawns, elf bao buns, or a selection of indulgent cheeses, whatever you want from your Christmas shop, you'll find it in our aisles, fridges and freezers. Plus, you can save again at the till with a 10 or 50 grocery voucher. Make Christmas for everyone with Dunn's Stores. Terms and conditions apply. Voucher can be used to next grocery shop of €50 or more. Voucher excludes alcohol. Please drink sensibly.
Friday, November 29th is polling day in Ireland's general election. And now's the time to find out about the election candidates in your constituency so that you're ready to make your choice on polling day. Your vote is your voice. Be a voter on November 29th from An Coimisiún Toghcháin, Ireland's Independent Electoral Commission.
Oh, me back. If you get back pain, then this may be the backing track of your drive. However, Citroën could help change that. Citroën's advanced comfort seating includes high-density foam with amazing postural and lumbar support as standard. So when it comes to comfort, Citroën's got your back. Visit citroen.ie and book a test drive today.
RTE Radio 1.
Robbie Williams, live 2025. Croke Park for one night only. Saturday, August 23rd. Subject to license. With special guests Elbow and the lottery winners. Robbie Williams, live. Tickets available now. I'm loving
angels instead. Music updates on RTE Radio 1.
Hello again, you're with the News at One. As we heard earlier, evidence has concluded in the civil action taken by Nikita Hand against the mixed martial arts fighter Conor McGregor and another man. Ms. Hand alleges she was raped by them in a Dublin hotel 6 years ago, allegations they both deny. For more, we can talk to our legal affairs correspondent, Orla O'Donnell. Orla, the final witness today was a doctor. What did he have to say?
Yes, Professor Basil John Farnham was called on behalf of Conor McGregor. He's a GP, the court heard, and a forensic physician with experience of examining victims of various types of assault. And he explained to the jury that bruises, how they're caused, he said they're caused by blunt trauma, which causes blood vessels underneath the skin to be damaged and the blood to leak and percolate towards the skin. Now, he said if the bruising is deep in the tissue, it can take 24 or 48 hours to appear on the skin. He said bruises could change in size, shape, colour and position as they developed. And he also said there could be possible redness at an area of trauma before bruising appears. And he said it was a good idea to examine someone again after 24 hours because more bruising can appear. He also told the jury there was a website which stated that sertraline, which is an anxiety medication Ms. Hand was taking at the time, had a propensity to cause bruises. There was some discussion then with him about tampons and whether it's possible to have sex with a tampon in. He said this was not a question he was asked by women in his surgery very often, and he said it would be a peculiar question, but he had discovered that people had done it and were flabbergasted afterwards. Professor Farnan said he couldn't comment on a suggestion by senior counsel Ray Boland for Nikita Hand that the question wasn't asked very much because no one would choose to do it.
What did the judge tell the jury about what happens next?
Well, Mr. Justice Alexander Owens told the jurors the next step was a legal discussion in their absence about the issue paper that would be produced for them. He said the jurors were the big decision makers and he and the lawyers would be formulating the questions that are to be put before them as they make their decision. He said they would have to evaluate facts and come to conclusions. Now, he's going to bring them back next week, he said, when the important questions will be formulated, and they're going to be addressed by lawyers for Conor McGregor and the other man involved in this case, James Lawrence, firstly, and then by lawyers for Nikita Hand. And the judge told them that the lawyers would each be putting their side of the case and then he was going to charge them and explain the law to them. He told them not to be Googling and not to consult the law books themselves. He told them, stay away from that. I will explain that to you. And he said, you can't have every person's lawyers sitting in your laps. The closing stages of that case, of the case, are now going to begin on Tuesday morning when those speeches from the lawyers will take place.
Orla, many thanks for that. Orla O'Donnell, our legal affairs correspondent. A book has been returned to the library in Athlone 53 years after it was borrowed. The copy of Down All the Days by Christy Brown was due to be returned on the 8th of April 1971. Paula O'Dornan is Senior Executive Librarian with Westmeath Libraries. Paula, tell us about this book. How did it come back to you?
Well, we were delighted yesterday that when a lady approached the staff in Athlone Library and said that she had a book which was slightly overdue. and when we had a look at it, it turned out to be more than a little bit overdue. But it was wonderful. She mentioned that it had came from a flat in London and that she was bringing it back to its rightful home back in Westmeath. So, it's one of our more unusual overdue books.
Yeah, so it's been on its holidays in London for at least the past several years and possibly the last 50 odd years.
Yeah, we don't know. Unfortunately, we don't know how it got there or who had it. But as I say, it always shows that where there's a will, there is a way for a book to come back to its rightful home place. So it's obviously been kept well. You know, the book is in great condition for being away for us for over five decades. And I just hope that it was enjoyed when it was on its holidays, as we'd say.
Have you ever come across anything like this before?
No, like, we are lucky enough, as you're probably aware, fines were abolished in all public libraries across the Republic of Ireland in 2019. And in the run-up to that, there had been some amnesties, and obviously people could bring back books after 2019. So we did see some books coming out of attics and sort of had been sitting in corners, but nothing that we could sort of quote five decades worth of being away from base for.
And on that, in relation to the fines, as you say, they were abolished a number of years ago. And I remember talking to a librarian about it at the time. Has it made a big difference?
Oh, I think so. Like, in terms of both getting rid of the fines, it was a barrier because we would see people, you know, and, you know, if fines built up with families, you know, if you had, you know, three or four children and all their books were overdue, and it built up very quickly. So now there's not the same level of embarrassment, or and it's not the barrier that it was. And combined with having free membership for all our public libraries, you know, it's definitely helped get people through the doors. And, you know, as I say, take out any embarrassment. Our staff across the country, you know, working in libraries, if they ever find an older book which has been lurking under a bed or in an attic, come in and chat, because we'll always welcome people returning to the libraries, and we'd hate to think that they were embarrassed to come in because of an overdue book.
Mm-hmm. I remember when the fine used to be 2p a week and how you'd worry about it if you hadn't brought your books back. Can I ask you finally what you're going to do with this copy of Down All the Days? Will it go back on loan?
It will. We will get it back. We'll get it on the new catalogue. We had a little bit of nostalgia there, because looking at the photos on Facebook, you'll see that it's got old card catalogue cards attached to it.
The old stamp that you used to have.
And the old stamps as well, yeah. So we'll get it back in, and we'll get the new technology on it with barcodes and RFID pads. But look, just to say, like, the book was Christy Brown's Down All the Days, and we have another edition of it. It's currently on loan, making its way around the country. So it just shows there is always an interest in the writing of an author of the calibre of Christy Brown. You know, people will remember him obviously from My Left Foot, both the film and the book, and it was inspirational. You know, the effect he had as a quality Irish author. So it's nice to see that the lesser known works are still being read. And if you look at any review of it, it describes his language, it describes how he played with style, and it describes how, you know, he manages to pack an emotional punch in his writing, you know. And for, you know, the story of growing up in Dublin in the 30s and 40s and living with, you know, both, you know, and being one of a houseful of siblings, I think there was 16, you know, the book may be fiction, but it's definitely described as being auto-fictional.
Right.
You know, it's impressions of his memories, you know, have obviously played a large part in it. So it's wonderful to see that people are still interested and reading those real life slices of life, you know.
Well, thanks so much for talking to us, Paula, and it's lovely to hear that the book has found its way back home.
Sport on RTE Radio 1.
And with the support, it's Siobhan Madigan.
Thank you very much. A very good afternoon. Beaten Cup finalists Derry City have parted company today with manager Rory Higgins less than a week after a disappointing season run-in. The Candy Stripes were beaten 2-0 in that cup final by Drogheda United at the Aviva Stadium last Sunday and finished fourth in the Premier League title race, having contended for league honours for much of the season. Also departing the Bogside Club are captain Patrick McElhenney to Ballymena United, defender Shane McElhenney to Glentoran, and striker Colin Whelan, who has joined Bohemians. Rory McIlroy is one shot off the lead following day two of action at the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. He closed with a birdie on 18 after a mixed day with his driver. In the end, he signed for a 3-under round of 69. A second round 65 for Antoine Rosner has him top of the standings on 9-under par. Shane Lowry still well placed, 6-under after a 67. Tom McKibben in on 3-under in a tie for 16th position. Ireland's rugby team hope to return to winning ways against Argentina in the second of their autumn international tests this evening. The Pumas have never won on Irish soil, but recent wins over France, New Zealand, Australia and South Africa have them brimming with confidence ahead of tonight's game, which kicks off at 10 past 8 and is live here on Radio 1. The 2025 National Elite Boxing Finals glove up at the stadium from 5:30 this evening. Belfast boxer Michaela Walsh will be bidding to win a record 12th senior title tonight. Following them will be Katie Taylor's defence of her super lightweight titles against Amanda Serrano in the early hours of the morning over in Texas. Former Northern Ireland snooker champion Mark King has been banned from snooker for 5 years today. The Englishman, a former world number 11, has been found guilty of one count of match fixing and one count of providing inside information. His ban will run until March of 2028. Mark Allen will take on Zhao Gudong in the first of the semi-finals of the Champion of Champions event in Bolton this evening. While Cheltenham's November meet is underway, the feature race is the Grade 2 Cheltenham Chase with John Bonn and Edward Stone among a four-strong field. Action also at home in Punchestown and in Dundalk.
Siobhan, thank you. And that's the news this Friday lunchtime. Mark McGrath was on sound. The broadcast coordinator was Sinead Renshaw. The editor was Brendan Fitzpatrick. Joe will be here with Liveline in a couple of minutes. But for me, Rachel English and all the team, thanks for listening and have a good weekend.
Get set for gifting with early Black Friday deals at Dunn Stores. Like an 8.3-litre Tefal air fryer was $149.95, now just $99.95. A Tassimo or Dolce Gusto coffee machine, now half price at $39.95. And an Oral-B Pro 3 power brush for just €55, better than half price. Plus, you can save again with our 10 or 50 grocery voucher. Make Christmas for everyone with Dunn Stores. Terms and conditions apply. Voucher can be used on next grocery shop of €50 or more.
We go off the beaten path. We take the rocky road to adventure. And also, about 3:30, we pick the kids up from school. For real life, for real people, new Dacia Duster is now available in full hybrid with a spacious interior and 0% APR. Visit your local dealer to find out more and come to our sales event from the 14th to the 16th of November. Finance is made under a hire purchase agreement. T's and C's apply. MFS subject to lending criteria. See dacia.ie.
The Black Friday sale is now on at Harvey Norman. Get Black Friday discounts on SIM-free phones today. Save €100 on the HMD Skyline smartphone with 50 megapixels autofocus front camera, perfect for selfies. Was €499, now €399. Or save €40 on the Xiaomi Redmi Note 13 smartphone with long battery life and immersive display. Ideal for entertainment on the go. Was €199, now €159. With our best price guarantee, why shop anywhere else? The Harvey Norman Black Friday sale, now on.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Refresh your home with the latest colours and designs in curtains and bedding, in store or at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. We're getting queries a week into the election that is there a moratorium? I don't mean the day before the election, because that's effectively gone, though it will be quite strict nevertheless. But is there a moratorium about people knocking on your hall door after dark? Now, I always thought it was around the start of Fair City or Coronation Street or EastEnders or Emmerdale or whatever my neighbour's on a bit earlier. So that would be 7, 7:30. But I haven't heard of a moratorium this year, but I know the Coronation Street is on Virgin Media. That's on twice a week, isn't it? But that's on their hour-long episodes that start at 8. Fair City, depending on EastEnders, are on RT1, depending on the day. And they start around 7:30. Though you've Nationwide at 7, I don't think people would welcome anyone knocking on the door at 7. So it was 7 the cut-off point now for canvassing. Or would people there knock on doors after 8, given how it's dark at 4:30. We'll come to that caller later on about the, is there an agreement among political parties, or are we beyond all that at this stage?